Relatively Geeky presents GalaxyCon 2022. And this is the voice of someone getting over a winter cold. Not con crud. Symptoms did not begin to appear until three and a half days after the last day of the con. Not con crud, but a cold, just to clarify. Back in 2019, me and Em and Mrs. Quarterbin were plotting out our future vacations. You know, for some cons, some events, you do need to start buying those tickets a year in advance. And you have to work around your work schedule and days off and all that. So we tend to provisionally plan 1 year's trips and cons and vacations the summer before. Plans can change, of course, but that in no way minimizes the value of planning. So 2019 had us go to Gallifrey 1 in February, and Mrs. Quarterbin and a buddy went to Seattle in March for a vacation. We knew that the summer of 2019 was not going to be a big time for travel. That's why we got our trips in early that year. Because summer 2019 was about moving my in-laws, my wife's dad and brother, here to Columbus into a facility. And of course, that was going to take a lot of time, effort, adjustment, vacation time, etc. So 2019, at least after March, was not really viable for vacations and trips. Valerie ended up having meniscus repair on one of her knees as well, so we were all pretty much homebound for the remainder of that year. But that was going to be okay, because 2020, that was going to be the active year for us. We had tickets for the music festival we go to every other year over the 4th of July weekend. And also, we had tickets for the con in Connecticut, Terrificon. So, looking forward to meeting Dr. Ange, Chris Tyler, Jeremiah, Chris Willett, Council of Geeks, all of our Northeastern New England comic book geek nerd buddies. Now, you may remember this in retrospect, but just in case not, 2020? Yeah, no cons, no festivals, not much else. And of course, same for 2021. Now, let me go back and give props to Terrificon. Many events, when they COVID canceled, simply rolled over the purchase tickets to the next year, 2021, which in many cases ended up being 2022. But Terrificon just did a clean and simple refund. Neat and tidy, no problems. Good on you, Terrificon. And here, in 2022, our Music Fest audio feed actually happened. Check out Dorkness to Light for coverage of that event. Over Valentine's weekend, the three of us spent quality time with Shag, David Ace Gutierrez, Mark Baker Wright. I mean, all the people you want to spend Valentine's weekend with. That, of course, was Gallifrey 1. So cons and fests and vacations were back in business, baby. So I kept my eyes out, and I saw a postcard at a comic shop advertising GalaxyCon Columbus, and I was intrigued. I checked the website, we're talking probably back in July or something, and I saw that my number one comic creator to meet was coming, the legendary Mike Grell. I immediately reached out to the Sutherlands, who confirmed two things. Grell was indeed planning to come to Columbus, and no, coming to Ohio in December was not in Darren and Ruth's plans, which I completely understood. I think it was 2017, maybe 2018, when Grell was going to be in town. I think This con was a wizard world at that point. So he was coming, as also was the dastardly talented Luke Dobb. But I ended up being sick that weekend, missed the con, missed both of those fellows. But it was all coming together for 2022. So I reached out to M because I saw that TV's John Constantine, Matt Ryan, was attending as well. But as the summer and fall months passed, M's work schedule became locked in to Saturday and Sunday, so they were going to be out of the con. And then one day, I was looking through the guest list, figuring out which days I was going to go, which type of admission ticket I would be purchasing and all that. And Mrs. Quarterbin wandered by and saw the celebrity list. All the Star Trek people. And we hatched a plan. So the two of us, husband and wife, ended up going on Saturday. It was a three-day con. But I had work meetings all day on Friday, so that was a no-go. So the two of us would go on Saturday, and we got a Star Trek cast member signature photo. More about that later. And then on Sunday, I would go on my own. And since I listen very faithfully and very closely to Tom Pianorisa's annual Baltimore Comic-Con episodes, I prepaid for my parking for both days in a nearby garage. And one way that this episode will fall well short of what Tom usually does over on Pop Culture Affidavit, I did not get any audio from creators or celebrities. But I do have lots of stories to tell about my 2 days at GalaxyCon Columbus 2022. And after this promo, I'll be back to tell some of those stories.
Warlord Worlds, a fan podcast devoted to the comic creations of Mike Grell, including Warlord, John Sable, Starslayer, Shaman's Tears, and Green Arrow. I'm Darren.
And I'm Ruth. You'll join us as we discuss the stories, characters, and art in the many excellent comics from writer and artist Mike Grell.
Warlord Worlds is available at podbean.com and on iTunes and Stitcher.
Find us at warlordworlds.com.
And we're back. I'm going to talk about a number of con-related topics during this episode, roughly in order. I'm planning to talk about Saturday in general, comic books that I had signed, meeting celebrities, Mike Grell, sketches and artwork, cool cosplays, Sunday in general, and the comic books I bought. So on Saturday, the doors into the ballroom at the convention center opened at 10, and we got there just as the main convention floor for the con was opening. I was, of course, wearing a Doctor Doom t-shirt, and Valerie was sporting a Wonder Woman top. I like to think of us as a power couple. And it was very nice having Valerie with me. I haven't been to this con before, to this convention center. So it was nice to have a spotter in terms of the driving and the parking and the convention center entrance and the con floor and the food options and all of those logistical details. I find that sometimes when I'm in a new spot, it can be helpful to have someone with me. That companionship can de-stress me, can de-anxious me. So that was nice. And of course, as we'll discuss, Valerie had a job of her own at the con. Now, there were not a lot of comics creators, just a couple dozen or so creators and probably a handful of sellers. This is definitely more of a broad pop culture convention, the Galaxy Cons. lots of celebs and photo ops and autographs and lots of merch, but we're talking video game related stuff, pops, cosplay gear, buttons and stickers and shirts, and only, as I said, a very few comic book dealers. Now the plan, first things first, was to find Mike Grell to get some things signed. I did not have a ton of things with me to be signed, but I did bring stuff for, I think, four creators it was. That is including Grell. Part of that was because many of the bigger name creators were charging for signatures, which is fine. I don't begrudge that. But I was interested in budgeting my money in other directions. So right when we got there, on the way to Grell, the first creator I actually saw who I wanted something signed from was artist Bob Hall. And I brought him Emperor Doom, the terrific graphic novel, Hail Doom. And he happily signed that. We chatted about how much he enjoyed doing it. And we both agreed that he did a pretty good Dr. Doom. I apologized to him that the item itself was not in great condition, but he said he preferred that. So that was a sign of a comic that had been well read. So nice fella, great interaction. We did then get to Grell next. Actually, we stopped by his table often during the weekend to say hello and check in. He was tabling with Jeff Messer, who has some work of his own, but he also manages a lot of Grell's convention appearances, Kickstarters, art commissions, and all of that stuff. And they were both very kind and welcoming. The Sutherlands had prepped them for our arrival, so as soon as I introduced myself and Valerie, Grell looked up from the art that he was doing there and said, "Ah, the professor." Now, on this first pass, I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about my experiences with Grell and Jeff Messer. But on this first pass, I did have him sign a number of things. My absolute favorite issue of Warlord is the last one of the original huge epic storyline, that is Warlord 50. And one of his earliest Legion stories also, Superboy and the Legion 209, cover date June, this hurts, 1975. With this one, I said, for both our sakes, I'm not going to say that I've been a fan of yours for almost 50 years. Let's just say it's well over 40 years. And then, because I always try to bring something at least to one creator that they're not expecting, that they don't see all the time, I brought the Sable prose novel for him to sign as well. And Valerie and I confessed that we were viewers of the very short-lived Sable TV series from, what would that be, the late 80s, early 90s? And we all lamented the limitations of that show and some of the cast. On that specific issue of Legion, there were earlier issues that I could have selected for Grell, but I picked that one, 209, because it was the first one written by Jim Shooter, who was also at the con. So after Grell signed it, I took it over to Jim and had him sign it as well. And Shooter, he's a big man, is very, very friendly, and he had nice things to say about Grell. Told me to tell him he said hello, and was glad to have a book with both of them signing it. So that was cool. The way Shooter had his booth set up was like Grell. He had two tables. It was a big space. And he had a helper there to organize the line and also sell prints. Now, Shooter was not charging for his signature, although as the helper said, specifically said this to the person behind me who had about 20 books, that the more free signatures you get, maybe the more inclined you should be to buy a print or two as well. And I really liked that. It was a nice, low-key, medium, soft-sell approach. So Bob Hall, Mike Grell, and Jim Shooter, the only other creator I had anything for was Howard Chaykin. Last time I saw him, he signed Black Hawk book number one. So this time, I had him sign number two. And like I told him, next time I see him, I'll have him sign book number three. Now, when I was getting those books signed, Valerie had left Grell's table to stand in line for Jonathan Frakes. We had bought his signature experience, which will be our Christmas present to her brother, my brother-in-law, Phil. And he had a pretty long line, so I checked in on Valerie a few times as she was working her way through his line. By the way, everyone, without fail, that I mentioned this plan to, agreed completely that having Valerie get the autograph was a much better plan. Kirk Spencer figured that his wife gets a good 10 to 15 extra seconds with a celebrity than a standard nerdy dude gets. So while I was waiting, I saw the booth next to Frakes was for Shatner, and he was not physically there at the table at that moment, but at the front of his line was a booth with a guy sitting at a table with tons of Shatner's new book. And I noticed the guy had a t-shirt from the same cool bookstore where M works. And I asked if he worked there. He said yes. And then I whipped out my phone and showed him my lock screen wallpaper, which is M wearing that same t-shirt. So Eddie was there representing the Book Loft, selling Shatner's book. M had earlier in the year done a similar thing at a large outdoor local festival where three or four authors were giving talks. So at locations like this, at events like this, often the Book Loft will be there sort of repping or selling the books for a particular author or group of authors. So we took a selfie, which I hope freaked M out, because everywhere I go, I run into someone who knows them. So while Eddie and I were chatting about books and what's selling this holiday season, Valerie came up with her signed photo. And there were a number of photo options there. You could bring your own item for Frakes to sign. Our plan was to get a basic Will Riker action photo, but he also had on his table a TNG cast photo. And since he was tabling, like I said, on one side next to William Shatner, but on the other side next to Dr. Crusher, aka Gates McFadden, Valerie decided to get the TNG cast photo. So when all was said and done, my brother-in-law Phil will end up with a photo signed by two next-gen cast members. And both actors were very friendly, which made Valerie very happy because, you know, sometimes you hear stories about grumpy celebrities, but that was not her experience at all. And my wife met Jonathan Frakes and yet is still married to me. And that made me very happy as well. Now let's go back to Grell. Got a cool story to tell. So first, when we got there, when he was signing that first bunch of stuff that I had for him, he was working on a commission, a painting, actually. And next to him was a stack of his art paper, that firm cardstock that professional artists use. And as me and Valerie started wandering away to let him get back to his work, he told us to hold on. And as he went through that stack of papers, he said, well, Darren and Ruth asked me to do something. And I'm saying, no, they didn't. They did not. And then he flips one of the papers around, and it is a Mike Grell take on Dr. Doom himself. Merry Christmas from the Sutherlands. See, that's the sneaky thing about Ruth and Darren. Even when they're not around, they're still around, always doing nice things. So we took pictures of that. We sent them to R&D, who replied to us later that Grell was just tickled to play the part of Secret Santa for us. So let's just say that the con had gotten off to a great start within the first, 10 minutes or so? Fortunately, Jeff had noted that a guy a few aisles over was selling plastic sleeves for artwork, so I headed right there and got that Doom sketch properly protected. Now, my plan for the con, I talked about budgeting before, and that was the plan. I wanted to spend that chunk of money on sketches and artwork. And look, it was going to be hard for anybody to top that epic Mike Grell work, but I did get 4 other Doom-related pieces, and I want to talk about those here, talk about the artists. My intention is to link to these folk in the show notes in the blog post for this episode. Now, you need to know that back in 2018, when we were prepping to go to Heroes Con, which, by the way, I heartily recommend that Paul Hicks go to that con one day. But for Heroes Con, I had purchased a sketchbook, and over that weekend got a handful of Dr. Doom sketches done. That's the theme of the sketchbook. Jared Albrecht, the art sale artist, and Michelle Fifay of Copra fame are 2 of the artists who produced work for that sketchbook at that fest. So I took the sketchbook with me on Saturday of the con and worked my way through Artist's Alley looking for folk whose style I liked and, to be honest, whose pricing I liked. So first up, this was while Valerie was waiting in line for Jonathan Frakes. I dropped the sketchbook off with Nikki from Paper Lab Studios for a black and white sketch. She works usually in a cutesy, chibi style, and I thought that was the kind of artistic treatment that Dr. Doom deserved. Now, the point I've always made with the sketchbook is for each artist to do their own take on Doom in their own style. And that is what I got from that sketch. Totally. His head is a little bigger than it should be compared to his body, and she has him shaking a fist. And I'm sorry. It's adorable. Love it. After that, I ran into an artist whose deal reminded me of an experience that M had a number of years ago at the Anime Con here in town, Ahaya Con. And this fella had a sign that said something like, "Have a face, have a buck." And for a dollar, he would do a very quick ink sketch of you on an index card. And that is still one of my favorite pieces of art that M has ever gotten. So here, GalaxyCon 2022, the artist Juliana Egg was offering something similar, something in that spirit, I thought, what she called a 5-minute sketch for $5. And she did a fun little Dr. Doom in dark ink as well. Now, that one was not in the sketchbook. She had her own, 4x6 sheets. But I do plan to affix that into the official Doom sketchbook. Then another artist that we saw whose work I liked was Sean Carlson. His work was more traditional in the comic book sense as opposed to those other 2 sketches I mentioned. So he said it would take him a couple of hours, so he gave him the sketchbook and grabbed some lunch. After eating while Sean was working, Valerie and I spent the early afternoon browsing vendors. And among the pins and buttons and stickers and cosplay stuff, we found the one. The one Dr. Doom print, affordable Dr. Doom print, it goes without saying, on the entire con floor. and that was from Jason Montgomery, and he had a lot of colored prints on like 6x9 cards. His doom is against a purple background, so the green cloak and silver mask really pop. And this one is a little odd, I must say, as the hood flows off of Doom in a way where it's almost behaving like long hair. It's hard to explain, but it stands out. And again, it is definitely Jason's own take, which is what I'm looking for my Doom art collection. So this one I will also affix inside that sketchbook. Then during the next hour or two, we stopped by Sean a few times, and he kept working on that Doom sketch, but also, and we told him this was fine, this was completely acceptable, is that he was also chatting with congoers and selling some of his other prints, etc. So we told him to keep working on the art, but please also do commerce. We had no problem with that. And when Sean was done, it was totally worth the wait. He did a lot of inking and shading. The way that the shadows fall from the cloak, how they fall on Doom's face, is terrific. Of the four sketches I commissioned that day, so we're not counting Mike Grell, this was the one that was most polished and professional in a comic book ready sort of way. Loved it. There is a fifth artist that I want to mention, although I did not get a Doom sketch from her. But when me and Mrs. Quarterbin were lunching at one of the big round tables there, someone came up and asked if she could sit there at the table. So we were chatting and learned that she and two other artists, they were taking turns having lunch, that the three of them had driven in from eastern Pennsylvania. That's over in Billy D's neck of the woods, I think. Now, she does art under the name Siren, which of course is spelled S-Y-R-R-E-N, because evidently she was created by Image in the 90s. And at the lunch table, she was sporting an epic, huge, video game-inspired cosplay head, which she admitted she was having trouble keeping on her head. Anyway, she was a delight, and we wandered by her booth later. And what they specialize in, it seems, is doing sketches where they will put your head, your face, on a favorite anime or video game character, which is a pretty cool niche, but not what I was looking for the Doom sketchbook. But we did buy some very cute stickers from Siren just because they were so friendly and approachable, and we wanted to provide at least a few gallons of gas for their trip back to the Keystone State. I did mention that there was a bit of a wait, totally worth it, but we did have some time to kill while Sean Carlson finished up his take on Doom. So Valerie and I started a new game. Cosplay or Weirdo? Because I would say that 10 to 15% of the cosplays were things that neither of us recognized. There were tons of anime and video game ones that just went over our heads. But we got into the habit of seeing, you know, one of these outrageous looks that we, you know, didn't recognize and just leaning over to the other and whispering, "Do you think that's a cosplay or just a weirdo?" Because the way some of these young whippersnappers were dressed, it could actually go either way. Of the ones that we did recognize, there were a lot of Harley Quinns, of course. But the thing about Harley is that there are a lot of ways to cosplay her, and with a wide range of the amount of skin showing. And we saw a bunch of different takes, different costumes, and some of them were quite good. We saw a Supergirl, who Dr. Ange approved of, and a Plastic Man, who Max Romero approved of, and a number of Scarlet Witches, all of whom I approved of. And just to be fair, there were a couple of topless fellas with fur-topped pants from some kind of Nordic video game. We actually saw a pop of this character, which confirmed that these bold young men were in fact cosplayers and not weirdos. Lots of Mario and related characters, and I would guess a billion elves from different fantasy properties, movies, games, books, TV shows, a couple of Robin Hoods and Maid Marians, a greatest American hero, and an epic Black Adam. And yes, in the spirit of the season, peace and goodwill towards man, I, clad in my Doctor Doom t-shirt, did take a picture with a couple of kind but misguided folks dressed in certain blue costumes, one as Ms. Sue Storm, and yes, one as her loser husband. We stayed until about 3:30 on Saturday, I'd say. We were tired, each one of us over 10,000 steps, so we went home and took the rest of the day off. For Sunday, I had just a few plans, a few priorities. I did start by checking in on Mike Grell, and he was not at the table right there at 10 a.m., but I had a nice chat with Jeff. The two of them were doing a panel later that afternoon and then heading out of town back home right after that, so he had a limited window for sketches and commissions on Sunday. I did dip out of there pretty quick because I wanted to find the location of my LCS, World's Greatest Comics, who had a table there. Said hello to Jeff, the owner, Keith, the manager, and told them I'd be back later in the day to scour their dollar bins. But I had a 10:30 appointment to get to in a panel room, and on my walking over there, I ran into a real-life buddy, Little Russell Burbage, noted fan of the Fire and Water Network. And whenever Shag makes his way through Central Ohio, Russell and I are among the folk who always answer the bat signal, the Shag signal. Oh, no, that's not good. The bat signal. So it was good to see Russell again. He was heading back to his car to drop off some of his purchases. And like I said, I was heading off to church, Nerd Chapel, which is a group out of, I think, Michigan and maybe Wisconsin. And they travel to cons, selling their devotional-style books and doing nerd-themed church services. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to get too dorkness to light on you, but let me tell you just how nerdy this church service was. In addition to a sermon peppered with Doctor Who and Stargate examples, the head of Nerd Church is a huge Stargate fan. Not only that, I was sitting in the same row as a cosplayer of 1940s Captain America because, of course, 1940s Cap was going to church on Sunday morning. Of course he was. I had to stifle a chuckle when he came into the room in costume. It was perfect. And it was a pretty solid church service too, a sermon on Advent, with, like I said, many sci-fi examples and references. On Sunday, I did not bring my sketchbook with me. This was for three reasons. One, I was completely satisfied with the money I'd spent on Saturday for sketches and art. So no need to really push it, and the budget was mostly spent anyway. Number two, I didn't know how long I was going to stay on Sunday and didn't want to get into a position of an artist needing more time to finish up than I wanted to stay. And three, I wanted as much room as possible in my backpack for buying comics. Saturday may have been about buying art and getting Star Trek autographs,
but Sunday was about buying comics. Now, like I said, I think there were not a ton of retailers at GalaxyCon, maybe 5 or 6 or 7, and at least 2 of them were focusing on the more expensive stuff, the keys, CGC books and all that. But I did find World's Greatest, and I spent $10 at their dollar boxes, got some good things, including all 3 issues of the influential Mike Grell miniseries, The Longbow Hunters. So, of course, I headed back over to his table and had him sign issue number 1. That gave me a chance to thank both he and Jeff for coming to the con, taking time to chat with me and Valerie, and, of course, for being the Sutherland's secret Santa and providing me with a wonderful Doctor Doom sketch. Thank them both, bid them a good rest of the day, and headed off in search of Sunday sales. Well, first lunch, and then Sunday sales. Because on Saturday, the cheapest books I found were those dollar books. But as you all know, Sundays at cons are often the sales day. So across from a dealer whose $15 foam weapons were now 2 for $20, I found a comic retailer who was up from, I think, Louisville. And he had on the floor, under the tables, about 8 3-for-$1 boxes. When I say under the tables, yes, I put my mid to late 50s body on the floor to go through those comics, which was not a problem. It was the standing up part 25 minutes later. That was an adventure. But from there, from the 3-for-$1 boxes, I nabbed 30 comics and even $10 spent there. Lots of war books and a Katie Keene, a beat-up Adventure Comics Legion issue, Batman Doc Savage, a couple Classics Illustrateds, and a Badger miniseries. Listen to future episodes of the Comics Reading Journal to hear my thoughts on those purchases. So mid-afternoon, maybe 2 p.m. or so, I headed home quite satisfied with my weekend. 5 pieces of Doom art, a bunch of signed comics, a few stickers, a very good Christmas present for my brother-in-law, and 40 comic books to read. And the good thing about leaving a bit early was that by the time I got home, Mrs. Quarterbin was still hanging out with her father and brother after church. Now, to be fair, Cap was not at their church. He was at my church. But anyway, they had gone out to lunch and were still hanging out over at their place, which, and some of you know just how important this is, right? I was Joe, Kirk, Sir Luke. That gave me the chance to file those 40 comics away and out of sight long before Valerie came home. Perfect. And I think that's everything I have to say on my GalaxyCon experiences for 2022. Thanks go out again for all the artists who created Doom sketches for me, who signed comics for me, and any who served as Ruth and Darren's Secret Santa, and those who signed the TNG cast photo for Phil. And to you, thanks for listening. If you have any comments on my con experiences, or of any stories from your own con experiences that you'd like to share, you are welcome to do so. That can be done via email, relativelygeeky@gmail.com, or comments can be left on the Facebook or blog post for this episode. The blog is at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com. Again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the holidays.